of seeing a clock. I'm looking at a clock in front of me on my desk right
okay.
now. So you say, okay, that's fine. That is the content level. But there's a lot of things that we might be aware of in terms of what's going on in our experience. You know, I'm looking at this clock, but I'm looking at it in terms of this phone call and having settled on this as an example. So that's kind of the surround. And there is a certain, excitement or tension or agitation that involves the fact that we are on this phone call, and that's going on in my experience right now, too. So that's the way we've been looking for the last couple of weeks. Now, if we want to look in terms of space, one way to think about that would be to say that in order for me to be here and the clock to be there, and the clock is, you know, half a meter away from me, there has to be a space that allows both of us to be here. There has to be a connection between me and the clock. And space is kind of that relationship or that connection. And so in the same way that I might be aware of the clock in the context of being on this phone call, I can also be aware of me and the clock in the context of the space that contains us, or that, you know, let's say contains us for now, that contains us both. And so then that would include all the other things on my desk, which happens to be very crowded at the moment, and my sense of being here in this room, and it reaches out. And I think you can see, especially in comparison to what we were calling the background in what I put up for week one, you can see in the little essay I wrote for week one, especially in connection to the background, which is our sense of what's going on, or what we're involved with, that space is something like that. Space is the background for whatever appears. So that's stage one. There is a stage two, but again, let me stop, because I feel like I'm really talking a little bit too much. So let's hear what other people have to say.
Well, could we say that experience arises out of the space that space of awareness? If we take awareness to be space, then all of our experiences would be objects. Or if we took, we could say awareness or mind as space.
Yeah, and I think we're definitely moving in that direction. That's really where the reading is taking us, to think of awareness or mind as a kind of space. Right now, I'm trying to keep it more, a little bit more specific than that. And just saying that if we start with embodiment, with the embodied realm, which was the first non-content level we looked at, space shows up in that embodied realm, and it shows up as a kind of a background, as a kind of a possibility for specific things to appear. So that's the connection I'm trying to make there. Anybody else? Okay. Let me go on.
Would it be something, see if I'm getting this right. Space would be when it is like the mind in terms of whatever appears in the mind, but just space is whatever appears in that space. For instance, there's you and the clock. It's whatever encompasses you and the clock and whatever else is there.
Yes.
It's not you, it's not the clock, but it's whatever encompasses all these.
That's right. That's right. And as long as we're on the level of embodiment, that we're basically talking about what we normally think of as space, the physical space.
Right.
You know, and so
yeah.
So it also includes everything else that's on my desk, as I said, and the room that I'm in, and so on. Now, the second phase that I wanted to introduce, or the second part of this, is that if we're not talking about embodiment, let's say we go to the level of mental activity, which was the third of those four non-content layers. I think I called it state of mind or orientation. If that's where our focus is, then there's still this kind of background which allows that to happen. It's like you could say we drop down into a certain layer, and that layer is the orientation, the state of mind of what's going on. And there's a kind of a space of possibilities. And, you know, you can think of that as a metaphor. That's fine. But there's a space of possibilities, which is all the possible states of mind we might be in. Right? And so space is kind of, in this way of thinking about it, space is a background that shows up, and it varies, or it doesn't show up, it's just the background, and it varies depending on the kind of, well, depending on where our focus goes. As I mentioned before, I have in mind that we could do a little exercise right now as a group that might help clarify this. So let me suggest that. And we'll do this for about 2 or 3 minutes. So we'll just be quiet on the phone call for 2 or 3 minutes while we do this. The exercise is to think back to a memory of being somewhere, some memory that involves being anywhere. You know, being in your, I don't know, being on a trip, being in a class somewhere, being out for a walk, it doesn't matter. Just being somewhere. And so the exercise is to try to feel your way back into that situation and then become aware of the space on two different levels, and they're both going on at the same time. One is the space of the place that you were in at that time. So if I imagine being on a walk in the woods, there's the space of the woods, the place that I was. The other level, and it's going on at the same time, is the space of the memory, the space within which that memory is unfolding. So is that clear, looking for those two levels? Okay, well, let's try that for a couple of minutes, and then we can talk about what comes up. Okay, here we go. Okay, well, let's stop there. So we're talking about two different levels of space, and in a sense, neither of them is what we normally think of as space, right? Because our ordinary sense of space is, here we are, you're sitting wherever you're sitting. And I guess you could actually talk about four different levels of space, because, you know, you're in your location right now, and then you could talk about the space of this phone call. And then there's the space that you were remembering, and then the space of the remembering itself. I'm just pointing that out. I think it would be way too complicated to try to deal with those all at once. But let's just talk about the about that two-minute practice we just did. Anybody want to say something?
Yes, I wonder if I could say something.
Yes, you're entitled.
let's see. What I became aware of immediately was that I made up a story that the memories were happening in my body. So then I shifted and included the body as being in the space as well.
That's interesting. Can you say a little more about that? What you mean when you say the space, the memories were happening in your body?
Well, I'll just describe how I did the exercise. Went to the a museum yesterday and saw some paintings. And so I visualized that space, and then I also could have visualized the space that I was experiencing between myself and paintings there. Then as I was doing that, of course, I shifted to include the memory as being in space too. And then I noticed the mind had a habit immediately of attributing the memory more to myself here in this room as a body. And feeling that that was a story I'm telling myself that took me away from the experience of memory in space, I then decided to include the body as in space as well.
Okay, yeah, I think that, it's true that at the moment we explain something to ourselves or the moment we comment on something, it's kind of taking us away from the more primary sense of space. You describe that as a story, and I think that's a perfectly good way to describe it. So you tried to deal with that by bringing the body into it too. And what happened
then?
Yeah.
Yes, and then that was able then to get the sense of space back, and I was able to return to the memory, so-called in space. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I found that. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
I found that. As soon as I tried to think of my current mind being the host for a memory, the memory sort of dimmed. I couldn't, whereas if I just went back to this class I was in earlier in the week, I would really be sort of immersed in it like it was my reality. But as soon as I attempted to say, well, there's a space in my mind that's attempting to remember something, then the memory itself dimmed. I couldn't do both at the same time very powerfully.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know how it is in other countries or even other parts of the United States, but there's not too long ago in California they passed this law about not talking on a cell phone in your car, unless you had a hands-free device. You know what I'm talking about? And that has always struck me as very wrong-headed. Basically they're saying, oh, people who talk on cell phones and cars have lots more accidents, and so we want to prevent the accidents, and so we're going to pass a law which says that you have to be able to talk while both hands are on the wheel. You can't have the phone up to your ear. And it seems to me that the reason that people have more accidents when they're talking on cell phones is because talking on a phone to someone requires you to be in two places at once, or two spaces at once. And it's really, really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're describing something similar. So the exercise that we just tried to do here on the phone was to be to be aware of the space within a memory, and also to be aware of the space of the memory. It's trying to do something that is intrinsically pretty difficult to do. Someone just joined us.
Hello?
Yeah? Oh, Arthur, huh?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
1 minute, I can listen to you.
Okay.
Do you speak about exercises? Because I didn't find the text, exercises.
Well, we just did an exercise here on the phone call, so it's not, you wouldn't find it anywhere. But,
okay.
Okay, anybody else want to talk about their experience with the exercise?
I tried to see myself actually at the Institute in Berkeley.
Yes.
And I would see myself in the garden, and then I would see myself, it was hard to keep that memory. I said, I think I'm going to the meditation room, and then, I was kind of skipping around, and not focusing on one specific place, as if I was trying to look for a place where I could just sit or be. And then, since I found that hard, I tried to focus on the space that was in between, let's say, the garden and the meditation room, put it that way, from one space, one memory to another. And what was in between these two memories? The space in between the two memories.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So the space in between the two memories was not itself a memory. It was the space of doing the practice.
Right. It was something that, because I couldn't, fix my own memory, so I said, let me try to fix to see if I can experience the space itself.
Right.
Get the in between the memories. That's what I try to do.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, yeah.
Because I was skipping around too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're doing...
It's hard to do it at first, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think probably we didn't, probably that wasn't enough time, a couple of minutes, partly because this is an artificial situation, but it's a very specific situation that we find ourselves in right now, and it's kind of an unusual situation where we're all linked and we're all in the same space in a sense, but it's a very tenuous link, and so it's hard to then also at the same time be doing this practice. So you might try doing it on your own and give yourself a few more minutes to do it. The other thing about this particular exercise is, let's say you want to do this more or you want to explore this kind of thing more during the week, you might get lost in a memory or get involved in a memory. And when you do, then at a certain point, you might also become aware. Well, let me say two things. First of all, there won't be the same jumping around quality because you will have just naturally fallen into a memory. But the difficulty is going to be aware of the memory and the space of the memory, and at the same time to be aware of a memory space, if you know what I mean, the quality of having a memory. So the problem that you're talking about, Eloisa, is not going to come up in the same way when you are actually involved in a memory instead of trying to artificially create one or make yourself have one. But there's still going to be a challenge involved. So I don't mean to make this sound too challenging, though, because,
No. I think it's exciting.
Okay.
It's just getting started because it's something that is so unused to do it.
Yes. Yes.
It's breaking habit and going to another level and of actually experiencing on the space itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is.
Go ahead.
Tracy, right now it feels like a juggling act.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, what I would say is over the next week, try to do this in a little bit more natural way. You can do this exercise as a specific exercise, set aside some time to do it. But in terms of just your ordinary experience, the practice would be to be aware of the surround in the same way that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, to be aware of the background of what's going on in your experience. But try to bring that more into a space perspective. So probably the right way to start with it is with embodiment. And, it's like when you reach out to pick something up, Just be aware of that sense of there's a space that's supporting that movement. There's a space within which you're operating, and in within which the object is operating too. And it's actually a little bit miraculous, you know, that you reach out to pick something up and you can. I mean, you know, what is the link between you and that thing? That's something we completely take for granted, but it's surprising. And that's a place to be aware of space. And then if you get a sense of that, then try to move it into these other areas that we've been exploring, so that if you find that you're aware of the thoughts, I can't remember the word I used now, but the kind of different mental events that are going on, like an agitated mind, let's say, to ask yourself or to look into the space that's supporting that, and then the next state of mind comes along, and then the next state of mind comes along. And one of the characteristics of experience is that it does change all the time. But as long as you're on one level, there's a space that supports those. You know, you're kind of in the same space. And so just to get a sense of that supporting space, that underlying space.
Can I say something?
Sure.
The reading this week seemed much more about knowledge and mind and sort of the inner truth you could contact through awareness. And I think I've always found space more harder to reach, more alien to my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, and you seem now to be moving in that direction today into this element of looking at space itself.
Yes, but I mean, I think your point is exactly right. Or let me put it this way: I think that it's for a lot of people when you start talking about space, it feels a little abstract and harder to connect with. And really, part of what I've been trying to do in this phone call, and I did post something online too, write an orientation for this coming week online. What I've been trying to suggest is that you can take that same focus on experience and the mental dimension of experience and just pretty naturally extend it out so that it includes space. So the physical relationship that we have with objects in space, our embodied connection with space, is just one example of this space connection. Space is a kind of a supporting element to whatever experience we're having. I think that's really where I'm trying to take it. And I'm doing it precisely for the reason you say, because I know that this is one place where people tend to get lost, not exactly lost, but they start saying, well, gee, this is kind of abstract, and I'm not sure if this is the way I like to think about things, and I'm not sure that this really has an impact on my life. And so I'm trying to give the space dimension more of a lived reality so that we can really find it in all of our experience.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's a good place to stop for today. I did post an orientation that you can look at. I will post this, I'll send along to Kathleen this phone call. I have to confess that I forgot to turn it on for the first 5 or 6 minutes. So the phone call, if you want to listen to it again, will be missing the first few minutes. But hopefully it'll still be helpful and also helpful for other people who didn't take part in the call. But I'm glad we had some new people. And Christopher, I just tremendously appreciate your getting up at 3 a.m. That's
my delight. Thank you to be with you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So, talk to you next week.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Yes.